Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And this is actually take two of this. Did a good 10 minutes and hadn't started the recording. You know, as we're recording this, it's the eclipse. My Wi-Fi is going in and out, so who knows what we're going to end up with. But I really want to make sure that we get this program in because I'm going to have so much fun talking with Todd Baker. So welcome, Todd. How are you doing second time around?
I am still doing amazingly. Yes, still doing good.
I love it. Well, you know, at least I noticed before we got too far into this.
That's true.
Yeah. So let me tell people a little bit about you and then we'll jump into this. So Todd Baker is a lifestyle transformation coach and the founder of Project 9 Life. He works with clients to help them set goals, hit targets, and achieve their dreams. A mindset expert, he believes consistency and simplicity are the key ingredients to making lasting, positive changes. He helps people find clarity, overcome their limiting beliefs, and improve their health, wealth, and relationships. Based in Colorado, yay! Todd was inspired to help others after transforming his own life by making three simple changes. Weighing 320 pounds and working long hours as a real estate agent, the father of two realized he needed to take action to become the active dad his children deserved. After making a New Year's resolution in January of 2020, he cut out carbs, avoided added sugars, and started going for walks every day. Losing 100 pounds in just 12 months, Todd found not only a new lease on life, but a purpose too, helping others change their situations for the better. Oh my gosh. So Todd, I think you're the only person I have ever met in my life who made and kept a New Year's resolution. So talk to us a little bit more about that and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, it's I think statistics are like 99% are done by March 1st or something like that. And for me personally, like mine started with the resolution and it lasted 3 days because day four was snowing. And I was like,
and you're like, I ain't going out there.
And, but instead of just saying, oh, it'll be spring or I'll wait till summer, like I spent the day really thinking about why it was important to me that I become more active. And it became less about whatever the scale said to me. And it was just being active and being healthy because in the end, I didn't want to be the dad who, you know, I couldn't participate in stuff with my kids.
Right.
I didn't want to be the dad who had to sit in the stands or, you know, they
couldn't even go,
you know, or they'd come home and say, hey, we want to go camping. And I'd throw $50 at them and say, have fun. I wanted to be active to the point to where they came home and said, we want to do this. And I would say, let's get in the truck and go and just be part of their lives, not just for the short time, but for the rest of my lifetime. You know, and that's a recurring theme. Like people with resolutions, they set them and they're so short-sighted.
Right.
It's, you know, I want to do this.
Or they're totally unachievable.
Yeah, or I want to do something this year. And then, you know, we've all seen it. And then the next year, you take another class that's make this year your best. Another class, make this year. And it's like, why are you repeating it? And, you know, we've all heard it. You know, the people that are like, this is my time. This is my year. I'm going to make this happen. But then they don't do anything different.
Well, just, but I've been waiting for it to happen.
right, the sun and the moon have now aligned perfectly, and it's like, what? That's not the way that it works. Mm-hmm. Like if you truly feel like your inspiration is at the point where you want to make something happen, learn from the times in the past that you didn't, mm-hmm. and adjust, and then act on that. Mm-hmm. It's the difference between motivation and inspiration. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like with motivation, it's fleeting. Mm-hmm. It can speak to you one day and not the next.
Well, and a lot of times it's somebody has told you, you mm-hmm. need to do X. And you're like, yeah, that sounds good. You know, and you're right. 5 days later, you're like, yeah, right, whatever.
Yeah. Whereas if every English teacher that teaches in fifth grade teaches everybody, ask why at least 5 times, mm-hmm. and then you'll get the right answer. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with your goals and mm-hmm. what you want out of life. Mm-hmm. Like if you, like for me, it was, okay, I got to get in shape. Okay, mm-hmm. well, why is that important? I kept asking. And it ended on my kids. And mm-hmm. I want to be there and active with them for my life,
right.
their lives, mm-hmm. and the foreseeable future until, mm-hmm. you know, someone pulls the plug. Mm-hmm. And that's that fire that's within me that mm-hmm. I still walk every day. Mm-hmm. I still eat a good diet. I'm mm-hmm. still active and healthy. And it's like, my life has improved dramatically mm-hmm. just by simplifying things mm-hmm. and not convoluting them with clouds and 10,000 things and trying to remember mm-hmm. what chapter in a book I'm on or a certain program. And did mm-hmm. I do this or did mm-hmm. it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Simplify things mm-hmm. to the point to where it's, you don't think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. You just go to work.
Right, right. So speaking of work, one of the things that this made you do was to found your own company. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so as I was walking and, you know, your brain starts to work differently, you know, when you become more active. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about, like, I know I'm not the only person that gave up a resolution. Mm-hmm. And I found something that works for me. I can help other people. And, you know, I kind of became, you know, friends, family, stuff like that, like the uncompensated coach. Mm-hmm. And someone very smart said, hey, if you got a talent that people, you know, value, don't give it away for free.
Yeah. Why aren't you charging for it?
Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. So I founded the company. The logo is, Project 9. Don't think anything of it. For mm-hmm. the viewing guests out there,
it's not Cat's Nine Lives.
Not Nine Lives. It's not Nine Steps. My kids played baseball and softball, so we were sitting down talking about it. There's 9 people on the field at once. Huh. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Took a baseball diamond, turned it on a corner, mm-hmm. came up with the logo. There you go. And my kids are still waiting on royalty checks.
Yeah, well, they got dinner last night.
Yes, they did. As far as the cats thing, I know you've got me by 1, but mm-hmm. I'm down to 7. There's mm-hmm. twice in my life where, by all rights, I probably should have died. I fell mm-hmm. out of the back of a pickup truck in college going 55, hit the highway.
Oi, oi.
Yep. Ended up with a lot of road rash. Mm-hmm. And then, like 4 years ago, I had a seizure, mm-hmm. spent 9 days in a drug-induced coma. Mm-hmm. You know, doctors came in every day and looked at my parents and mm-hmm. said, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And that is something I wouldn't wish on even my worst mm-hmm. enemy.
Right.
Because the dreams I was having were so vivid and so real. I woke up, thought I was mm-hmm. on a boat. Mm-hmm. I was nowhere near a boat.
You were in Colorado.
I was in Colorado. Yes, exactly. So, but it really, for me, what it did is it made me thankful for every day mm-hmm. waking up, getting to experience just life and those mm-hmm. moments. And, you know, you could be having a horrible day, a bad day, something bad happens, everything like that. It just puts everything in perspective mm-hmm. because I'm here to right. go through that experience. Mm-hmm. for another day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd hate to, don't go out and do this to yourself, but, you know, it gave me the ability to just slow everything mm-hmm. down.
Right.
And really take the time to notice mm-hmm. what's going on around you. Because mm-hmm. not only is there those moments of cool stuff, but the thing that I realized, there are opportunities
mm-hmm.
everywhere.
Right.
If you just mm-hmm. are in the right mindset and you mm-hmm. pay attention.
Right. Well, and, you know, it's when our lives are so cluttered with, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. We don't see those other opportunities, you know, and for me, when I went through what I did, it was definitely a wake up call as to what the heck is really important in life. You know, and a big part of that was, yeah, we need to simplify things. And so I love that that's what you work with businesses about, because I hear it all the time from business owners that they have so much on their plates. They couldn't take on anything else, and something gets thrown their way and they don't know what to do. So how do you work with people to say, okay, you really have to simplify?
Yeah. The best thing I can say is, if you wake up in the morning and you start looking at your day,
mm-hmm.
you've probably started looking at your day about 12 hours too late already.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you've got, say, 10 things,
mm-hmm.
Could you make it five?
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you combine a couple things mm-hmm. and make it five or right. six?
Mm-hmm.
And really just like, what's going to move the needle forward
mm-hmm.
in your business, mm-hmm. your personal, your, you know, that clarity of a vision of what you want,
mm-hmm.
what's going to move the needle forward
mm-hmm.
and what on that list is just mm-hmm. busy work?
Right.
Because what you end up finding is a lot of what you have to do on a daily basis mm-hmm. as a business owner ends up being busy work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's not actually moving the needle mm-hmm. towards, you know, ROI, mm-hmm. KPIs, right. all the stuff that you value. It doesn't move the needle. Mm-hmm. And that's where you need to focus your attention.
Right.
You know, and there's little things that'll happen too, like Brandon Dawson. He said this one time, he works with Grant Cardone, but he's like, if someone brings him something that will take less than 5 minutes of his time, mm-hmm. he does it right then.
Okay.
Doesn't wait, just does, knocks it out. That way it comes onto his plate and it's mm-hmm. off of his plate, and he can focus now on what's going to move the needle forward.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have stuff that just requires time and effort that mm-hmm. is busy work. And at that point, it's like, do you need to outsource it? Do you need to have...
Does it need to even be done?
Right. Does it need to be done? Mm-hmm. Is it something that someone else can do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like before the report gets to your desk,
mm-hmm.
what did it go through until it required your attention?
Mm-hmm.
And could it have been handled along the way mm-hmm. so that it never gets to your desk?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just keeping your eye on what your vision is for the company and where you mm-hmm. want it to go and mm-hmm. what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And 95% of your daily activities and actions should be focused on that.
Mm-hmm.
And other people can handle the rest of the stuff.
Right. You know, I kind of do the 15-minute rule. If it's not something directly pertaining to the business, if it's going to take more than 15 minutes, I need to outsource it. You know, mm-hmm. and there are things that I like to do. Like, I like to update my website. I like doing that. I have fun doing that, but I can get it done in whatever project I'm doing in under 15 minutes. If it's going to take more than that, it probably takes more brain cells than I have, and I need to outsource it anyway, because I'm just going to break it and have to have somebody do it. You know, I was developing an initiative not long ago pertaining to having cancer. And I thought, you know, I design websites, I do branding, but I knew if I wanted it done and done, right? Because I would put it off. I'd do all sorts of things. I needed to hire it done. And I needed to hire it done at the level that was appropriate. So not let's go to Fiverr and see, you know, how inexpensive I can get it. And so I made the investment. I hired a website developer. I hired a brand developer. It was not cheap, but I got something that is so phenomenal that I never would have done on my own. And now does that hurt the ego a little bit? Sure. But at the same point, my ego says, well, you were smart enough to have somebody else do it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And like you said, the daily upkeep, not only is it something that helps your business, your branding and everything like that, but it's also something that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I think a lot of not just business owners, but people that, you know, work for other people, they dread that 8 hours. You know, they wake up in the morning and they're just like, oh my God, I got to do this.
They spend Sunday afternoon going, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, not that you're like out like playing sand volleyball or whatever, but like find things during your day that you actually enjoy.
Right.
And dedicate some time to those. Put a smile on your face. You know, I mean, life is about living life.
Right.
Not just head down in a computer and, you know, getting jobs done and stuff like that. Enjoy it. That's why we're alive is to add to explore the world that we live in.
Right. You know, and it is fairly easy to add things. I interviewed a young lady several weeks ago on the program, and she has a book club where you're reading a fiction book, but you're figuring out how it can translate into business skills. And she said, you know, like science fiction is always really good about teamwork and things like that. And she said, because we all, you know, or many of us want to read fiction, right? We want to read for fun, but we all go, oh, we can't. We should be reading Wall Street Journal and Forbes and this book on that and this book on that. But because we're going, right, we don't retain it because, you know, we read just enough to kind of pay attention and satisfy the whatever thing in our brain is going, you need to read that. But when you're reading fiction, you're putting yourself into that story. And then when you translate it into this is how it's a good business tool, you kind of killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah, it allows you to be creative. While you're reading it.
Right.
And then when you translate it, you're going to take, I mean, you could talk to 1,000 people. They're all going to take different parts of it and translate it differently. And that's using your creative side this is how it spoke to me. This is what it means in my specific situation. And this is how I'm going to use it. And that part is absolutely fun because you're not only, you know, doing something that's not just watching TV or, you know, just sitting there. It's like you're engaged, you're reading, your brain is working and the stuff coming out and you're using your creativity. And if you look at it as, like you just said, it's then take that, you know, fiction book and take it into a business lesson, you're being even more creative.
Right. You know, and I think that's so important because so many businesses are functioning the way they've always done it, right? You know, and we hear that all the time. Why do you do it this way? Well, because it's the way we've always done it. But why do you do it that? Because, you know, and they're kind of caught in that loop, right? And they never stop to think, should we still be doing it this way? And I know that's one of the things that you work with businesses about. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, it starts with individuals, right? And there's the great thing about being self-employed and being who I am, and I love Tony Robbins. I mean, he's a great example. But if you were to go to Tony and say, "Hey, we want you to come and help our business," he's going to put you into his program,
right?
And it's basically, here it is, buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, with myself, it's like, I take the time. I want to find mm-hmm. out, like, what do you actually mm-hmm. need? Where are right. you struggling? How, mm-hmm. how can I cater a program that's going to benefit your employees and yourself
mm-hmm.
short term and long term? But it always starts kind of with, you know, the employees and helping them identify, you know, through the program that I offer,
mm-hmm.
there's 6 steps. It mm-hmm. starts with mindset, and then you go to what, which is your goal,
mm-hmm.
why, where you ask yourself why,
mm-hmm.
how, which is the steps,
mm-hmm.
why not, which is look back, what prevented it in the past,
mm-hmm.
let's learn from that, and then what's next. And through that, it's like there's a ton of different lessons and mm-hmm. talking points and things that people learn. But in the end, that's it. And people start to make progress because it's simple.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to think about where they're at in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And they can actually start making the progress. And let's face it, people set resolutions for one of 3 reasons: health, wealth, relationships.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, and business owners included, that if this is something that you bring to your team
mm-hmm.
and you've got 20 people that are like, I'm focused on my relationships. Well, the business owner might look at it and say, well, this isn't worth it because they're focused on something that has nothing to do with it. But mm-hmm. as your relationships improve and you start to make progress, you don't just grow one column, the others start to come with mm-hmm. it. Now you end up with employees that are higher energy, more confident, mm-hmm. more engaged, because they're actually making strides in their mm-hmm. life. And,
right.
you know, and they're able to achieve more. And, you know, by secondarily, they get more efficient. They mm-hmm. they get more creative in looking for ways how to
mm-hmm.
rather than excuses why not.
Mm-hmm.
And as a business owner, you can look at it and say, yes, it's an investment, but what would you rather invest in? Quarterly awards, which, let's face it, that's for the line level managers mm-hmm. to get up there in front of execs and mm-hmm. talk. Monthly taco bar, which people enjoy for that one day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, an employee health program, mm-hmm. which very few people take part in. Because it's like you got to do this,
mm-hmm.
or would you rather invest in something that you, as the business owner, you get higher ROI,
mm-hmm.
you get better KPIs, your business actually starts to grow and mm-hmm. improve because the level and the capability and the attitudes of your workers mm-hmm. are improving mm-hmm. as they're growing. And
right.
all of a sudden you're looked at as a place to work where, yeah, mm-hmm. I've got this huge role of people that are all just leveling up, and you don't think they're going to mm-hmm. tell other people about mm-hmm. it? Of course they are. I love mm-hmm. my job because, you know, they introduced this program and now my relationship with my mm-hmm. husband is better than ever. Or, you know, I put together my own kind of health program and I'm eating better and mm-hmm. God, I look great.
Mm-hmm.
And I love my job. They don't have anything to do with each other.
Right.
But guess what? Your job is improving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's, you know, and then it's working with those management teams as to, you know, how do you support it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, is it something that you say, hey, we're just going to offer this and you leave it to the employee to buy into mm-hmm. and to pay for or whatever? The complete opposite is you pay for it and you say, we're sponsoring this mm-hmm. for everybody, and it goes from there. It requires, you're going to get the same program.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the methodology and mm-hmm. kind of where you're at budget-wise and
right.
what your intent is. But that's where it helps, because I love to sit down with people that are in those positions, mm-hmm. be it owners or decision makers or whatever, and creatively figure out, like, how, with your budget and what you're looking for and what I offer, how can we make this work together that the business, yourself, and your employees all are going to benefit.
Right. So what do you tell the business owner who says, well, Todd, that sounds great, but they're going to be so, I'm going to do so much for them that they're going to leave us? You know, because I've heard that before, like with education programs, when companies have offered, you know, people to you know, pay for their education. And they said, well, but then they'll leave us.
Well, I mean, if they're going to leave, they're going to leave.
Right.
The program doesn't promote them necessarily to leave. It makes them a better overall person. And you're helping them achieve where their goals are. And that's where working with management to have some of those discussions. You know, I mean, it's almost a fallback for people. You know, oh, Bob is disgruntled. They bring him in for a meeting and they end up saying, well, how about we increase your pay or give you a different bonus? Money only buys so much.
Right.
You know? And it's having the courage to sit down and say, what can we do, you know, with a program like mine, what can we do to help promote you and hold you accountable and help you achieve what you're setting out to within this? Because that support, let's face it, I think it's something like 90% of people when they leave a job, they don't leave a job because of the company. They leave a job because of their manager.
Right.
Right. And it's if your managers now are more engaged, and, you know, it's a fine line to walk, you know, where people are sharing stuff and, you know, they might not share everything. And you just kind of open the door and just say, look, we're here to support you. You don't have to share anything personal, private, anything like that. Just know that we're here for it. I'm here as well. And that's the beauty of it, is that if they're not willing to share necessarily with their manager to help them have them accountable, they've got me. And I don't report back to management.
Right. So you're unbiased.
That is a personal conversation. That's one of the things that they get as part of the program is, you know, it's the classes, which is 8 weeks. They get a private Facebook group, and they have access to Voxer, which allows them to leave me direct messages that are personal and private that I'll respond to that doesn't go anywhere further than that. So, but that support of helping someone achieve some of those goals, that keeps people. And if they're going to leave, let's say their dream is to start their own company or something like that. Why would you not want to promote someone like that within your own company? Because the first cheerleader that you're going to have outside of your company that's going to steer people back to you is going to be the person that you helped put in that position.
I love it. You know, and I love that you say, talk to the employees about this. You know, I worked for a company and we did those team building exercises where we went offsite, right? You know, and so everybody was like, cool, a day that I'm not having to work. And, you know, and they always did it with the new people because the other people had been through it. So the, you know, us poor little newbies got to go do this. And it was horrible. I hated it. It was, you know, the stand up on the ladder and fall over backwards and pray to God they catch you, you know, and all sorts of things like that. And I got nothing out of it besides thinking this was an entire day wasted. Now, that said, there were other people who thought it was the greatest thing in the world. You know, it did help them bond, but part of it was a big company. And so, you know, we were with people we might never work with again, might see in the lunchroom, right? Things like that. So, you know, knowing, okay, Bob, Bill, and Sue will catch me if I fall. Well, if I'm not working with Bob, Bill, and Sue, what good is that? You know, and And so some people, like I said, some people really liked it. Some people really did think, well, cool, a day off. And then there were people like me who thought this is a big waste of time. And I mean, this was 20 years ago. And the fact that I still think, oh my God, this was a big waste of time shows you just really what I thought about it. So, you know, like I said, I love that you say, talk to the employees, find out what they want to do. Are you going to make everybody happy? Yeah. You know, it is kind of majority rules, but at least you made an effort and they'll appreciate that.
And you did something that very few companies do. Mm-hmm. You know, every other company out there does the award ceremonies, the mm-hmm. taco bars, the team building.
Yeah.
And it's because some, you know, manager mm-hmm. from two generations ago or some mm-hmm. textbook said, this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. And so they just do it.
Right. But we've always done Taco Tuesday.
We've always done Taco Tuesday. You know, and this is a way to say, hey, look, we're going to support you. Mm-hmm. And we want to be here for you because we value you mm-hmm. long-term relationship and stuff like that. But this is how we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. We want to help grow you as people, mm-hmm. as husbands and wives, mm-hmm. as healthy individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to help you with, you know, your money and your mm-hmm. wealth and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's based on your goals, mm-hmm. because goals in the end, they are personal and right. they're yours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the same kind of thing, you know, you ever have the monthly goal session with your manager?
Ugh, I hated those.
You sit down for a half hour and it's all about corporate goal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you meet this? Did you do that?
Mm-hmm. Why didn't you just send me an email on this? Mm-hmm. What if you sat down and you spent 5 minutes on, hey, look, we're doing good. You're doing good. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how you're doing mm-hmm. with, you know, I know you said the last time mm-hmm. that you were starting on mm-hmm. a health kick. How's mm-hmm. that going? How can we help? Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. Right. And it just changes that mm-hmm. conversation completely mm-hmm. to that employee now feels like I'm truly supported.
Right. I'm valued.
I'm valued. They don't want me. Yes, they need me there to hit my mm-hmm. numbers and to make sure that I'm performing, mm-hmm. but they value me as a human mm-hmm. being. And they want me to ascend and to transcend my mm-hmm. life. And they're there to support that. Mm-hmm. It changes the dynamic of that conversation so much.
Right.
And it gets people, it's mm-hmm. different. Mm-hmm. And so people are going to be like, okay.
Yeah. And they're not going to open up to you probably to start with.
No. And they won't, but, mm-hmm. but there's other outlets, mm-hmm. you know, there's coworkers that mm-hmm. they're friends mm-hmm. outside of work. There's me. Mm-hmm. You know, like they've got access to be mm-hmm. able to either, mm-hmm. you know, if it's public, they can post it on the Facebook mm-hmm. group that they get access to. Mm-hmm. If it's truly private, send me a message on Voxer.
Right.
And the way it's private mm-hmm. and it's not, it doesn't mm-hmm. go beyond that. Mm-hmm. You know, it does me no good mm-hmm. as a business owner to be known as, don't bring that guy in from the employee standpoint, because everything you say, he's going to share and then it's going to
right, because then nobody's going to tell you anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. I value my business and my kids mm-hmm. way too much. Mm-hmm. So you send me a message on mm-hmm. Voxer and I'll send it back. Mm-hmm. That's as far as that goes.
Right. Right. You know, and I think a big part of it, now I haven't been in corporate America in quite a long time, but you know, it was one of those where I think people were scared of the communications. And, you know, and now, of course, you still have some of the, well, you know, there's these HR rules. Well, okay, you can get away. You can get around some of those, you know, and but obviously be careful and, you know, don't do anything that's going to get the company in trouble. But at the same point, it's about developing those relationships. And, you know, and having those conversations, I remember several years ago, I was working with this lady on her LinkedIn profile because she wanted to leave the company. And so she said, you know, I need to spiff it up. And so we were working on her profile and her boss came to her and had seen it and said, you know, what are you doing? And she was honest. She told him, she said, you know, here's where I want to be. Here's where I am here. You know, I need to leave. And she expected the next words out of his mouth to be, then go now. Instead, he said, you could do that here. Why don't we see how we can make that happen? And I mean, that was just, it was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, and she said, so she kept her benefits. She kept her parking spot, you know, all of those various things.
No.
But yeah, I mean, the fact that that manager had, you know, the wherewithal to do that, because my guess is he might have, you know, it probably would have been easier in some ways to say, then go. Now, we all know it's really hard to replace employees, even ones that aren't doing a great job. But yeah, he was like, we value you and we want to keep you. So how can we make it happen? And I think from the employee perspective, we're afraid to ask because we think we're going to be shown the door.
Yeah. Well, it's just because someone might not be succeeding in their current role doesn't mean that they're not the right person.
Right.
They just might be in the wrong role. You know, you might have a salesperson who they're constantly, you know, lower third or whatever, but you know, through conversations or their interests or they express to you and they end up, they're really good at advertising.
Right.
Well, then, okay, that's great. Then we value you as an employee. You're just in the wrong seat. Let's move you to this seat. You're going to be happier. We're going to be happier because now we've taken a talented individual and instead of having to you know, the crapshoot of trying to find someone, you know, we can just shuffle some things and put the right people in the right roles. You know, and, you know, you don't get that unless you have the courage of the employee to say, like your friend did, like, this, you know, be very honest about it. And the security and the talent of a manager to say, wait, I've got two choices. You can leave or I can get you that same opportunity and keep you here. And it worked out for everyone.
Right. So we were talking before the program about COVID and the fact that, you know, pre-COVID, everybody toddled their little selves into their desks and all of those things. And now, you know, we're trying to figure it out, right? Is it going to be that people go back into the office full-time? Do they go back in part-time? Do they do hybrids? How do you think that kind of mixes in with all of this?
Well, the thing about it is that with the program that I offer, like I'm like you, like I have clients that are global, you know, and the only thing that has to adjust is, you know, people in Australia, it's Tuesday, you know, when I'm talking to them, you know, and, but it's all on Zoom. So it's like, you know, and that's where some of that just maneuverability and stuff that I'll work with companies on, like, do you want me to come out and sit down with the entire company and I'll go through everything, get introductions done, release the program, and then I'll come back a quarter later and do a follow-up. Absolutely, I'll do that. But in terms of just how it works with people, y'all have access to Zoom, and so you don't miss anything.
Right.
Everything is online anymore, so you get full access to everything. I think if anything, being at home, especially if it's like a something that to do with health or you know, relationships, especially something like that, being at home may actually accelerate your progress because, you know, you don't have to wake up and shower and get dressed and drive to work. You can wake up, go for a walk, come home, shower, and then just sit down and you're at work.
I tell people, I don't have to put shoes on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Same thing with relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, you can enjoy lunch together, or you can cook dinner together, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But in the end, with just as the world has grown and evolved, COVID or no COVID, everything is becoming more remote, mm-hmm. which personally is good and bad. I mean, mm-hmm. it's good because of access. It's bad because I still love meeting people.
Right. Face to face still is very beneficial.
You know, and talk to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you, I'm sure I network like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I go to as many meetings as I can just because mm-hmm. you can see people, mm-hmm. You know, and it's more than just this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
You know, but the access and the benefits don't change for people. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if they're how their work environment is set. But that's where, you know, I'm open to, like I said, sitting down and mm-hmm. saying, what works mm-hmm. for you and your right. company and your employees? Mm-hmm. What works best?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I remember it was, a month or two into COVID when I was talking to a manager, and he was a micromanager. And it bothered him to no end that his employees were not where he could literally reach out and touch them, right? He wanted to be able to walk from office to office and you know, do all of these things. And I said, well, you know, yeah, you'll lose that. I mean, you can do Microsoft Teams, you can do Zoom, you can do whatever, but they've prepared, you know, because if they're not ready, they're just not going to turn their camera on, right? He said, well, I don't trust that they're getting the work done. And I said, well, when you were able to see them in person every day, did you think they were getting the work done? And he said, well, with some of them, yes, with some of them, no. And I said, well, I got to tell you, the ones that you were worried about when you could see them, that's the issue. You know, if you didn't trust them then, there's really, you know, it's going to be hard to trust them when you can't go see them. And I think that's where some people got a little freaked out by it, was they did think, I need to see them. And they didn't trust people. I mean, that was just, you know, and obviously there are, you know, there are businesses and things where people have to be in an office. But yeah, you know, you either, you trust them or you don't.
Yeah, and proximity is not the determining factor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because the other question you could have asked that manager, by you hovering over someone and seeing if they're getting the work done, was it them getting the work done, or was it you stepping in and going, okay,
do this. Right?
Because mm-hmm. they weren't getting the work done. Mm-hmm. You were doing their work
right.
for them.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and I think when people adapted to the fact that, okay, you know, maybe we're not doing 9 to 5 anymore. Maybe we're doing the, when you get the work done, you get the work done. And of course, I think we really saw that when people had their kids at home, right? And they were trying to teach and do all of those things. And so they weren't doing 9 to 5. You know, they were working at 11 o'clock at night because that was the only time when they could actually sit down and do it. But by gosh, they got it done. Wow. Look at that. You know, but it is, you know, you get so many things done too when you are in person, you know, when you're getting coffee and you say, oh my gosh, did you see the solar eclipse? Or, you know, we're filming, or, you know, we're recording this the day after the NCAA women's basketball tournament. And so, you know, people are going to be talking about the tournaments and all of those things. And you don't do that as much on Zoom. I mean, you do a little bit. But it, you know, and so then you build that trust, you build all of those things that go along with it, because then it's, you know, you flow naturally into a business conversation. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think the companies that are making it work, it's incredible what they're doing. You know, I've seen some that have said, yeah, we do the first 10 minutes of every Zoom, and it's required that people are there of the chit chat. You know, what did you do over the weekend? All of those things. And he said, you know, we made it required because people wouldn't come. You know, they were like, yeah, I don't care about that. Well, they did, you know, but you know, he said, yeah, we do that. And then we're done with it. and we go on with the meeting. And so I think it's been interesting to see how people have adapted. And I think it's also been very interesting when companies have said, you will all come back. And people are like, nope.
Yeah. You know, and I'd love to see, I haven't seen anything recently, but I'd love to see statistics on like individual workers' productivity pre-COVID in an office.
Yeah, because there for a while, productivity went way up. It was amazing.
Yeah, because people were like, well, I can just keep working because I can just get up for 5 minutes, go heat up lunch, and then I'm sitting at home anyway. I can make, I can eat whatever. And I've seen it in a couple companies that I worked with, and granted they were, you know, they had all local workforces, but you know, three or four of them would be on these, you know, their health journeys or whatever. And they would get up and they would go and they would do whatever they wanted. I think they went to the same gym and they would just go together. And they created their own little subgroup out of it. And they had their own accountability partners. And they each had their individual goals as to why they were doing what they were doing. But they realized, like, you know, having those four cheerleaders with them allowed them and held themselves accountable.
Right.
Like, they couldn't wake up that day and go, ah, not today. Because they knew there was four other people that were like, no, we're here. Where are you at?
Right.
And I think people will find that too. You know, people will find a way, even if they're located on different sides of the globe, they'll find a way to connect with each other and say, hey, this was my goal for today. What was yours? Did you hit yours? Did you hit yours? What challenge did you face? How did you overcome that? And they'll problem solve it because the program is so simple. There's all these different things that you'll start to figure out because it's all clarity towards getting to where you want to go instead of I'm only on chapter two, I'm on chapter three, I'm on this one. You know, it's like, no, you're all on the same thing. It's just go to work.
Right. Yeah, I think this is universal. One of the things that I have heard is a lot of places discovered they didn't need nearly as many meetings, right? You know, because you had a meeting for this and a meeting for that and a meeting for this. And it was like, no. And part of that was, you know, people were like, well, no, I'm not available at that time now because I am, you know, doing my kids, as, you know, helping them with school, or I work nights now, you know, or whatever it was. Yeah. And when we do have meetings, we seem to do them much more efficiently. Now we still have some that aren't, but it's been interesting to see that change. You know, and the thing for me is it has really expanded my networking. You mentioned that before. Since COVID started, I have not been to a single networking event here local. None. You know, and part of that was, you know, health reasons. I couldn't go be around a whole bunch of other people and I wasn't going to mask up and do all of that. But it really was, I don't want to put my shoes on. And so I do all of my networking now online. And what I have found is it is much more focused and it's with the right people. You know, I belong to four business associations here in Atlanta. I think it's important to support your local business community. So I still belong to them, but I don't attend. And every year when it comes up, I'm like, you know, but I realized I lost no business from it. I miss seeing some of those people, right? Because I saw them every single week, it seemed like. And I really miss the Southern cooking, you know, but, you know, it was like, it would be three-ish hours of my day, sometimes every day, to go and do those simply for the social aspect. And I was like, nah, you know, I don't need to do that. I'm going to do this 45-minute Zoom and get far more out of it. And I've got 2 hours back in my day that I can do whatever I want with.
Yeah, exactly. It's that focus certainly helps. It's like, you know, you have clarity on what you expect to get out of it. And by having that focus, it it cuts out a lot of the clouds and the noise. And right. It's just, this is where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. You know, and I think you're right. Focus is probably the best word for all of this, because we, you know, we're working from home. You don't want to work 8 hours. Okay. That means I have to focus. I have to sit down and for my 7 hours, my whatever, I'm going to get everything done that I need to get done. Okay. You know, and so the boss that goes, well, wait a minute, you're only working 7 hours. It's like, yeah, but I got everything done. You know, and, yeah. You know, and I've had bosses like that in person where, you know, I get everything done and have a little bit of free time and, you know, do whatever with it. And they didn't like that because they could see me doing whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but I got everything done. You know, what do you want me to do? You want me to do it again? Right. You know, and
I've had enough coffee already. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could get up and walk around, but that's just going to be distracting to other people and all of these things. And it's given us, it's really given us so much more flexibility with our schedules that we are thinking, okay, I need to do this, 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 and this, and be done with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. It's focus goes a long way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, would you rather work 8 hours mm-hmm. and have a lot of downtime, a lot of chats at the coffee pot, a lot of, you know, time spent mm-hmm. not doing it? Or would you rather be hyper-focused for mm-hmm. 4 hours?
Right.
Get everything done mm-hmm. and get the 4 hours back.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And then you add in commute times. You know, I'm here in Atlanta and commutes are horrible. You know, my husband has gained back about an hour and a half each day on good days by not having to commute. You know, and so then he uses, you know, that hour and a half to do whatever he wants with. But it's really funny. I remember talking to one person and she said that was her alone time, was her commute. And so she kept doing it. And I went, what do you mean? And she said, well, I used to, you know, my commute was 20 minutes. And she said, so I still get in my car. I drive for 10 minutes. I turn around, I drive back. And I said, seriously? And she said, yeah, that's the time where I decompress. I listen to a podcast. I listen to music. I do whatever. And she said, and it works. And it just amazed me that, you know, but, you know, because I was thinking, cool, you got, you know, 20 minutes to do what you want. That was what she wanted. She wanted that total alone, be in the car time where nobody was going, mommy, 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 or wifey, 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 or, you know, whatever. And so she just kept doing her commute. It was just a little round trip thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do what you do. It works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and I mean, that's the thing about all of this is we have to find the way that works the best for the employees so that they give us their best effort.
Yep, exactly. And you benefit as well. So,
right.
But yeah, it's pretty simple and straightforward. You know, it's, I know you said the, how to get in touch with me, the easiest way. The project9life.com is the website. If you're an individual, just mm-hmm. go to the coaching section. You can go through, it'll run you through a bunch of stuff mm-hmm. and you can book a half hour call. It's complimentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big button. Sure that, book a free call. It's orange.
Yep. And that way it's like, I want to make sure that you're the right fit for mm-hmm. the program and I'm the right fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a business owner and you want to talk more about, like, you know, what it would look like for you and your group, just go to the contact us
mm-hmm.
and it's an email and mm-hmm. you just email it to me. And that way, you know, we can have an honest mm-hmm. discussion about what's going to work best. Website's great. Like yours, it'll show you a lot of stuff. I've got a great firm that I work with that mm-hmm. I've been published mm-hmm. around the world. You know, and continues to do so. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff, a lot of information mm-hmm. out there, a lot of the podcast mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, in the end, I think the one theme that I want everyone to take out of this is that if you want something different in your life, do something different. Don't fall into the same this is my year thing. It's going to happen this time. If you want different, do different.
I love it. You know, normally I ask for final thoughts. That was it right there. I love it so much. So I have been having such a fun conversation with Todd Baker. He is the founder and CEO of 9projectlife.com. And it's the number 9 in the website. Don't spell it out.
It's Project 9 Life.
Oh, sorry. Project 9 Life. Yep. And like I said, the number 9, not spell it out. I'm Deb Creer. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.